Hi, welcome to Destiny Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore, and we're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you're tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@yourdestiny.church. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He is doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. You guys have it? Okay, I got to practice first. Ahasuerus. Is that it? Okay, let's read verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. I've been working on that all week long, and I don't think I did a good job. Of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. Okay, all the hard words are gone. Y'all can pick up from here. Verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Remember that. If you don't remember anything else today, I just need you to remember the number 70. What number? 70 years. Cool. Verse 3. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Father God, we are grateful. God, that when we say that we need you, you don't ignore us, but you come rushing. Because you're not just a God that's up in heaven looking down. You are Emmanuel, God with us. So God, we're grateful. We're just thankful that you know us, that you love us. God, you have a plan for us. Speak to us in this moment, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Before you sit down, high five two people. Tell them 3 weeks till football season. Come on, tell somebody, tell somebody. Tell somebody 3 weeks to the glory of the Lord returns. This has been a rough summer. I feel like the World Cup was short. The Orioles stink. There is nothing on TV. I'm all excited. I don't even know why I'm excited because I got a lot of faith in the Ravens. Any Ravens fans? Any Ravens fans? Is this going to be our year? Are we going to finally? I don't know. Redskins fans. I don't know. This is just not a Redskins church. There's like three or four of y'all. Any Pittsburgh fans? Pittsburgh. So this is the wrong church. There's a church down the street where you people are welcome, but you people are not welcome. We're jumping into the second week of a series that we started last week called Breakthrough. Somebody say Breakthrough. And the goal of this series is to answer this question: why are not all of my prayers answered? You ever been in a situation where you prayed something? It wasn't something bad or negative, like it was a good prayer, and yet it didn't come to pass. I can't tell you how many people, their faith has been shaken because they prayed something that they knew clearly God would want this loved one healed or this job door opened or whatever it may be. And when that prayer didn't come to pass because they didn't understand why not, it shook their faith. I mentioned last week that I had a roommate who had a mother who was battling with cancer, and because she wasn't healed, he said, I don't want anything to do with a God that would let that happen in somebody's life. What we don't understand is that just because a prayer is not answered doesn't mean that God said no. Because we do not live in a spiritual incubator, but we live in a world where there is spiritual warfare. We talked last week about how the Bible says the second you pray, the second you set your heart to understand, that God responds, and oftentimes he responds with yes. But as he sends that angel to bring that yes into your life, there is demonic forces that look to hinder, that look to block that which God has promised you and desires to do in your life. I know when it gets to talking about Satan and the devil, sometimes people get uncomfortable and awkward and all this other kind of stuff, but you have to understand, Jesus spoke about the devil in the word of God, and it's because we need to understand that we are at war. I'm not gonna say I'm a movie buff because I don't watch a lot of whole movies, but I love movies, but I only watch one type of movie. I'm not a big romantic comedy guy. I'm not a big comedy or anything like that. I just love those espionage and those war movies. If it's Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne Legacy, Bourne 1, 2, 3, Taken 1, 2, 3, Waiting on 4, Equalizer 2, oh my gosh, did you see the pencil? Crazy. But there's one movie that I'm not going to mention, and it was about this woman, and she was a Russian spy in the CIA. Her name was Evelyn Salt. I won't mention the movie, though. But she was in the CIA so long that she forgot she was a spy. So when the U.S. found out that she was a spy, they began to attack her, and she was just like, whoa, why are you attacking me? I don't have an issue with you. I'm not your enemy. She was their enemy. She had just forgotten. That's not Bible, but I feel like it's a picture of so many believers. Because we've been on earth our whole lives, we forget that this is not home. That heaven is home, and we're simply visiting here as ambassadors, and that whether you like it or not, you have an enemy, and his name is Satan. Now, you may say, what in the world did I ever do to Satan? You were just you. So often when we look in the mirror, we see our flaws and our mistakes. You see this dad bod that I'm trying to get the stomach to disappear, and you see your insecurities, and I'm like sucking in right now. I feel all insecure. It's gonna be a short message because I can't breathe. You see all the things that you wish you were. You know what the enemy sees when he looks at you? He sees the image of God reflecting off of your face. Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image. Whether you know it or not, you carry the image and the authority of God. And that's what rubs the enemy the wrong way. So we have to understand that we are engaged in spiritual warfare, and that as we are believing God and praying, that he is allowed to send angels that are able to break through. Somebody say breakthrough. So that we can see his kingdom come on earth as it already is in heaven. I feel like we're watching 24, and they were saying on last week's episode. So today what I want to do is unpack the idea that there is only one type of prayer that you can pray that the enemy is allowed to block. There is one type of prayer that if you pray that type of prayer, it will not come to pass. Every other type of prayer, according to God's promises, must come to pass. And here's the type of prayer that doesn't work. The prayer that God never promised. When we ask God for something that he never promised to do, he is not obligated to do it. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says this, God is not a man. He will not lie. Another translation says he cannot lie. It is incapable for God to say something that is not true. By the way, the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. He is incapable of saying anything that is true. But since God is not a man, he will not lie. God is not a human being. His decisions will not change. If he says he will do something, then you can take it to the bank and cash it. He will do it. If he makes a promise, then he will do what he promised. God says, listen, if I promised you, it will happen. Now, if I didn't make that promise, ain't got nothing to do with me. It's all in. You ever met people that they, I'm not gonna call them liars. They just make promises that they're incapable of keeping. And it may be out of a good heart. Yeah, you know those people that say, you kind of run into a friend after old times or whatever. Hey, how's it going? I haven't seen you since like 5 years ago. Yeah, there's a reason for that. But, hey, we should do lunch. Let's do lunch sometime. And you know that they have no intention of ever going out to lunch with you. It's just that you guys caught up, you talked for 5 minutes, you remembered why you haven't spoken in the last 5 years, and now you're trying to figure out how to get out of the conversation. Hey, we should hang out sometime. Let's hang out sometime, all right? We're gonna do it. You're not gonna do it. They're just saying it to kind of get, listen, that's not the God that we serve. If he says it, he will. I'm struggling with that right now with my daughter. I'm trying to be a man of my words, but when she's crying, I just want to tell her anything to make her stop. You want to go to zoo? We could go to zoo. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's raining outside. But if you would just drink your bottle, then we'll go to the zoo. You want to go to the moon? I'll take you to the moon. I will take you to the moon. Sometimes we say things that are not true or we know they're not going to come to pass. But we have to understand that's not the God that we serve. If he said it, he said, you can bank on it. It's gonna happen. So here's how I can figure out how to guarantee that every prayer I pray comes to pass. I just need to figure out what it is that God has promised. And if I can figure out what he's promised and pray his promises, I will see it come to pass in my life. Somebody say amen. So if you're in a situation where you need to see God move, where you're believing for something different, it doesn't mean that you're in a tragedy. Maybe you are. Maybe you're getting punched and you're trying to catch your bearings. Or maybe you're just believing that God is going to move you forward in an area of your life, maybe in a relationship or in your business or whatever it may be. The first thing you need to do, and write this down, you need to find a promise. If you want to see God move in an area of your life, you need to find a promise that God has made about that situation that you're in. In this book of Daniel, chapter 10, it tells us that Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days until he saw breakthrough in his life. What we may not know is why all of a sudden did Daniel start praying and fasting. The reason why Daniel started to pray and fast is because he found a promise. You see, the nation of Israel were God's people. God says, I'm going to take this small, insignificant nation, and I'm going to make you a great nation just so that the entire world can see what it looks like when the hand and favor of God is on a people. That's what he said way back with Abraham. Over 4,000 years later, Israelis, Jewish people, make up less than 2% of the world's population. And they currently possess over 20% of the world's wealth. Somebody say that's bad math. But the fact of the matter is God says, I'm going to show the world what it's like for my favor to be on somebody's life where you can't point to your resume, you can't point to your hard work, you can't point to your network. The only thing you'll be able to point to is the fact that God is with you. The only problem is that when God is with you, you won't always look like everybody else. Sometimes the favor of God with you makes success look differently than other people. So Israel came to God and said, we're grateful for you, God, but we're tired of being weird. You see, God, everybody else does business on Sundays. We're the only country on the planet that closes up our shops on Sundays, and God, that's weird. God, every other country, they have 4, 5, 6, 10 different gods. We only have one God, and he doesn't even have an idol anywhere for us to see. God, that's weird, and we're tired of you. So God says, fine, if you don't want me to be your God anymore, then I will simply remove my favor from your life. Listen to me. We have to get out of this theology and doctrine that when you mess up, that God attacks you and he's out to try to get you. God doesn't need to get you. Life is difficult enough as it is. All he does is step back from you and leave you exposed to the elements. Some people are out there like, I feel like God is after me. No, you're just exposed. You've removed yourself from, that's another message for another day, so I'm not gonna go there. But anyway, Israel removed themselves from the protection of God. They got taken into slavery into Babylon, but God says, you're still my people. You gotta understand, God doesn't even know how to give up on people. He is incapable of giving up on anyone. Even in your worst day, he's still planning your comeback. So as they're going off into captivity, God is speaking through a man by the name of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah said, 70 years you're going to be separated from God. And on that 70th year, God is going to restore you and God's going to bring you back. And he wrote it down in the book of Jeremiah. Well, because Daniel was studying God's word, he found that promise. I don't know if Daniel found it the first year or the 50th year. But at some point, Daniel found the promise that I only have to put up with this foolishness for 70 years. And as soon as 70 years is over, we out of here. Growing up, my parents got tired of us asking, when was Christmas? When was Christmas? When was Christmas? So every Thanksgiving, we would make this paper link chain. And there'd be 30 days on this paper link chain. And every morning we'd wake up and we'd rip a link off of the chain. And my mom was like, never ask me again when Christmas is. When you've run out of links, that's when it's Christmas. I don't know if Daniel had a 70-year link chain where every single day he ripped off a link, but he knew God's promise and he said 60 more years, 50 more years, 40 more years, 30, 10, 9, 3, 2, 1. Last day of the last year, boom, God, this is the day that you promised. Guess what happened on that 70th year? Nothing. Nothing at all. Did Satan know that he was only allowed to control Israel for 70 years? Yeah. But he wasn't about to give it up freely. Here's what we have to understand. Satan knows God's word more than some of us know God's word. But he's not about to remind you what God's word says. So if you're walking in depression, Satan's not gonna be like, you know, I really don't have any authority to keep you in depression. Because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm really supposed to back down to God's word. But I thought I should tell you that. That's never gonna happen. So here's the deal. If we don't know God's promises for ourselves, we can live a life that is below anything God ever promised us. And it's not that God's out to get us. It's simply because we haven't looked for his promise and prayed that promise in our lives. I'm doing my best at this season of my life to never step foot into a supermarket, a Walmart, a Target, or any mall for that matter. You guys know that sounds like pretty antisocial. You don't like people. I like people just fine. I just don't like going into Walmart or Target, any of those places. And by the way, who needs to anymore? Because you get everything online. And then you go to Amazon and order a toothbrush now. And it will be at your house before you need to brush your teeth tonight. I mean, it used to be Amazon Prime. Now it's just like Amazon Now. Like you order it, somebody in the room probably has it already. They'll just walk it up and, hey, did you order this? Here you go. But, and this is so, have y'all seen, if you deliver for Amazon Prime, God bless you, they show up with the most sketchy things ever. Your doorbell rings, it's like Jack the Ripper. Can I help you? Yeah, did you order stuff from Amazon? Yeah, you got it? Yeah, open the door. Let me see it first. But you can order anything you want. I was a little bit hesitant to like order clothes online because, you know, you don't know if they fit and all that kind of stuff. But then I found a place that you can order it and it'll be at your door in 2 days. And if it doesn't fit, you just stuff it right back in the bag. It already comes with tape. You don't have, you just drop it right off and it's gone. I can get it and send it back in 4 days. I can't even get to the mall until Friday with my kids and all that. So, Dragon? So what happens when you order something? You click, you send, you pay, and then you expect it to come. What happens if it comes in the wrong size or the wrong color? Or you just don't feel the same way about it now as when you clicked order. What do? You send it back because this size or this color is not what the website promised me. Then why is it that we accept things in our life that are below what God promised us, but we don't send it back as if this can't be for me because God, you said every good and pleasant, perfect gift comes from the Father above, and the fact that my boss hates me is not good, is not pleasant, and it can't be from you, God, so I'm not gonna quit, but you're gonna need to change their heart because God, you said this is not what you have for me. John chapter 10, verse 10 says this, I have come. Jesus said, I have come. I have died on the cross that you may have life. Somebody say life.
Life.
That's eternal life, that you would live in heaven forever with God and that you may have it more abundantly. Another translation says life to the fullest. Do you know that God has given us 66 books of promises of what the plans that he has for our life is. But if we don't know God's word for ourselves, our 70th year would have come and gone, and we are still in captivity, not knowing that God has something better for us. So let's make this more practical than you've probably ever heard in church. I need you right now, just where you are, just think about a situation that you need God to move in. God, I need you to move in my business. We've been plateaued. We're not losing. We're not doing anything bad. But God, we're just stagnant. I need it to go to the next level. Or God, my faith has been stagnant or whatever it may be. Think about that situation. If you're going to see God move in that situation, the first thing you're going to need to do is get into your word and find a promise from Scripture that applies to your situation. Maybe you're in here and you're concerned about your faith. You've been coming to Destiny Church for 4 weeks, for 6 weeks, for 8 weeks. I talked to somebody and said, hey, how long have you been coming? And they said, consistently? And I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, my first time here was 3 years ago. And I come off. I was like, off and on for 3 years? Get your life. Anyway, but pray for me. Pastor's feeling a little fresh today. But maybe you're in here and you're just like, man, I'm excited about God. I'm excited about church. But I know me. And I know that I usually go about 6 months and then I fall back and I get busy. Or I usually go about 18 months and I fall in with old friends or whatever it may be. And I'm concerned about that. What you need to do is you need to get a hold of that promise in God's word where it says that God enables a man to stand. That it's not up to you to work your faith and to make yourself spiritual. It's up to you simply to surrender to God, to rely on him. And he will do that work through you. Maybe you're in here and you say, Pastor, the marriage is just not in a good place right now. We don't know what to do. Maybe we're separated. Maybe we're just fighting like cats and dogs. We just can't figure it out. What you need to do is get that promise in Ecclesiastes where it says, if you include God in your marriage, he said, a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And understand that when I invite God's presence into this union, when I invite his presence into my home, it's not up to me to keep it together. It's the Holy Spirit that is going to mend our hearts together. Maybe you've just plateaued in your career. I'm just not moving forward the way that I feel that I need to. Then you need to get a hold of that promise where God's word says a man's gifts will bring him before great men and will open doors for him. And you need to begin to pray, God, you said in your word that the gifting that you've placed inside of me is going to bring me in front of influential people and it's going to open doors. And it won't happen until you pray it. Just because he said it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It won't happen until you take that promise. The second thing I need you to write down is this. When you found that promise, you need to make that promise yours. You need to make that promise yours. Just because you read it doesn't make it yours. Just because you shouted amen when the skinny Chris Rock looking preacher said it doesn't make it yours. Is something more than just reading something in God's word that makes it a promise that's going to come to pass in your life. The Bible says this in James chapter 1, verse 5. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. If you need help, just ask. If you know what you're doing, just ask, is one I've learned. If you think you know what you're doing, still ask. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Sometimes you gotta slow down and read God's word. Have you ever asked somebody for help and they gave you so much grief over the fact that you didn't know the answer? You're like, forget it, I'll just figure it out on my own. Like, goodness gracious, all the shame you put me through just because I don't know how to do this or do that. God says, here's what I'll do. If you ask, I'll give it and I won't make you feel bad about it. I won't beat you up over. And he says, and it'll be given to him. But, by the way, if you see the word but in scripture, it pretty much cancels everything that God just said. So God says, hey, if you need anything, just ask. Okay, forget that. Cancel that. Why are we canceling it? Here's why. He said, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything. Sheesh, just got serious. He said, not even your prayer. He ain't getting nothing. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This is the verse that I usually use when girls will come to me and say, hey, you know, dating this guy and he's not quite sure if he wants to date, or, you know, we're kind of taking a break. I hate breaks. He's like, I'm taking a break. I say, you need to dump that joker, because the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all. You want to go on a roller coaster for the rest of your life? You better get off now. That's not what I'm preaching today, but that verse applies there. Make up your mind. Don't be double-minded. Can I tell you what my prayer life sometimes looks like? On Monday, let's use this example. You're believing God for a job and you're heading to the job interview. Father God, you said, do not be afraid when I am on trial, for the Holy Spirit will remind me what I read on that website last night. So God, I pray that you'd give me those words and give me favor, God, with my interviewer. In Jesus' name, this job is mine. Amen. That's Monday. Somebody say Tuesday. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I stuttered the whole time. I forgot everything. God, I don't know if you can do it, man. I really bombed this one. I don't know. Somebody say Wednesday. God, you said in your word, oh, that when the door is open, no man can shut it, God. Probably throw a little bit of tongues in there, Kawasaki, Honda, and all that good stuff. And God, I decree and declare. You start using spiritual words. This job is mine. I receive it. In Jesus' name. Somebody say Thursday. Oh man, but I don't know if I want that job. What if God has a better job for me? And I don't, I mean, what if I take this job and then I miss out on something he has better for me and blah, 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 and all this other good stuff. And oh my goodness gracious, I don't know what to do. Somebody say Friday. And then you get to Friday and you're like, oh, this is perfect for me. This is exactly the gifting and the calling that he has for me. This is a part of the destiny of the people that I can bring. What are you? You're double-minded. You're going back and forth and back and forth. And I don't know why I'm, come here, Pastor Trent, come quick. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but let's just say Pastor Trent is the angel that has the answer to your prayer. And God is like, they want it. Go, give them. No, they changed your mind. Okay, yeah, they want it now. They changed your mind. Okay, go. Oh, no. Go sit down. They don't know what they want. God is like, can I send it? No, can I send it? He said, you're unstable in what you want. So when you find a promise in God's word, before you hold on and fight for it, get to the place of, this is my promise. Not just something that guy preached on Sunday, but this belongs to me. Can I walk you through how to make it your promise? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Would it be proper grammar to take the word anxious out and put double-minded in there? Synonyms, kind of, yes? English majors? Come on, use y'all degree. Y'all got it. Jesus, give me some grace. I need it today. It said, be anxious or be double-minded for nothing. In other words, God says, calm down. I talk to people so that I don't know what the will of the Lord is for my life. I'm like, calm down. Chill out. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's his response. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, watch this, will guard your heart and guard your mind through Christ Jesus. So let me make it practical. February of 2017, I got an email that said, hey, we have a building that's about 20,000 square feet. It can seat about 600 people, and we just want to know if you want it. I got the email about 4 weeks after I got up in front of you people and said, hey, guys, we ain't going to have a building for a while. We're going to be portable for the next 2 years, so just get comfy. And said, hey, do you want it? Let us know. And I said, yeah, I want it. Oh, but what if we don't want it? Oh, yeah, we want it. Oh, God, we bless you with it. Hold on. It's too good to be true. What if something's wrong with it? What if like all the air conditioning vents went out? Air conditioning vents like $250,000 if they go out. It's not good at all. And I was like, what if they like just trying to set us up? No, I want it. So I'm going back and forth. And here's what I did. I went into the presence of God and I just said, God, I decree and declare that building is ours. I said, God, I don't know what I want. God, I'm not quite sure. I mean, it could be a blessing. It could be good. It could be opening the next door. But God, it also could be a trap that has us stuck for 5-6 years. We could outgrow it in like 3 weeks, and then God, what are we gonna do yet? And I'm there wrestling. I know if I wanted it, I could have it. But what I needed to figure out was, God, is this what you have for me? And as I'm sitting there and I'm wrestling and I'm bringing up, God, here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's what I'm afraid about. As I brought every anxiety to God, he responded it with peace, with peace, with peace, until I got to the place where I now had a peace that surpassed my understanding. And it moved from a promise that he made to a promise that I now possessed for myself. That's really where the prayer happens. You understand, prayer is not convincing God to be on your side. God's already on your side. He can never not be on your side. Prayer is getting our heart in alignment with God's perfect will for our lives. And as long as you're wishy-washy back and forth and double guessing it, continue to pray. God's still bringing your heart in alignment with where he wants you to be. But when you get to this place where you're like, I have a peace about it. I'm not tossing and turning at night whether this house is something that I should buy or not. I'm not up and down and all around of whether I should take this job or not. I have a peace. I can't explain it because it surpasses my understanding. But it's guarding my heart and it's guarding my mind, and I know it's from God. That's when you know the promise belongs to you. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I love this verse in Job. Job said this in chapter 42 of 5. He said, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Job said, it's one thing to grow up in church and to hear your grandma talk about Jesus and hear your folks say that you need God. It's a completely different story to see him remove your guilt and shame and to see him. He said, it's no longer something that I've heard, but now it's something that I've experienced. I'm gonna be really blunt with you. There's a lot of people that you grew up in church and because you know about God, you think that you're a Christian. The problem is you've heard about something, but you've never experienced it for yourself. And it only becomes real to you when you've experienced it for yourself. The last thing is this: once you find that promise and you make that promise yours, now it's time to hold on to the promise. I have some good news and some good news for you. Living the life of faith is the greatest ride you can ever experience in life. I have some better news for you. Living the life of faith is a ride. So you just make sure you buckle up because you are in for a rodeo. Here's the thing. Faith, I'll read this. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to live a life believing and acting as if something's going to come to pass that nobody can see. Tracking? So you're going to have to be ready to wrestle with some doubt and a wrestle with some fear. I'll even tell you this, that when you begin to pray and believe God for something, the enemy will do his best to make the reality look opposite to what you're praying for. Let me prove it to you in the word, and then I'll prove it to you in real life. So last week, we were reading this story about the man who brought his son to Jesus, who was demon-possessed and battling with seizures. When he got to Jesus, Jesus said, you want me to heal him? He said, yes. Jesus said, be healed. What happened? The boy started to have a seizure. After Jesus cast the demon out of him, the Bible said that the boy laid on the ground as if dead. People thought that the boy was dead. When Jesus stepped into the situation, visually it got worse before it got better. Because the enemy is going to do everything he possibly can to shake your faith and to get you off of what you're believing God for, so that angel can never step into your reality with the answer to your prayer. So if you're praying that God would heal your marriage, get ready for it to get worse than it's ever been before. Ooh. If you're believing God for a new contract in your business, get ready to lose two contracts that you thought were a sure deal. This is preaching I don't like to hear, Pastor, talking about this. Oh, but it's war. Oh, but it's war. Oh, but it's war. We're not living in an incubator. We're not in heaven yet. We'll be there one day, but here on earth, you're going to have to fight for what God has promised you. So you're going to have to learn to hold on by faith to what he promised. Some people think faith is a wish and a prayer. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not glass half full type of living. Let me prove it to you. Somebody say prove it to you. I'm going to prove it and then we'll end this message. Got 41 seconds. Here we go. When you order something online, what do? You click complete order. You put in your address. You put in your debit card number because we don't believe in credit cards. Jesus' name. Financial Peace University, starting in 3 weeks. Check it out. And then at the end of your order, before you click complete order, what do? You put in your email address. Why? Because they're going to email you a receipt until your item comes. So if I go to somebody and say, oh my gosh, I just ordered brand new shoes online. They're not going to say, no, they're not coming. They're going to say, do you have a receipt? Yeah. When does the receipt say it's going to come? It's going to come on a certain day. I have a piece of paper in my hand, or at least an email that I never checked, to make sure that what I've ordered is guaranteed to me. Tracking? Hebrews 11, 1 in Amplified says this, now faith is the assurance. I love this. Watch this. The title deed. What's a title deed? It's a piece of paper you get in your hand when you purchase a home. You have a piece of paper that proves that you haven't gone in yet, you haven't moved in yet, but this paper says that belongs to me. If some squatter is in there, if somebody says that it doesn't belong to you, you just whip out that paper and say, you see this? That's my name. Get out. It says faith is the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen. The conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. What is faith? Faith is that scripture that I locked onto and took into the presence of God, and he deposited a peace in my heart that surpasses all understanding. So when reality doesn't look like my prayer is coming to pass, I reach back and I get that title deed, that receipt, that deposit of peace that I got from his presence, and I whip it out and I said, no, boo-boo, it is coming to pass because God promised it to me in his presence. I have a receipt for that prayer, I'm going to see it come to pass in my life. Can I go one more second over? Ephesians 6:16 says this, above all else, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So when you begin to pray for something, the enemy is going to bombard you with thoughts that it will not come to pass. But if you have that peace from God that you've received, every time that thought comes, you grab that faith out and you say, no, God promised me something different. So your kid goes off to school freshman year, you start calling them and they're not picking up their phone. They're not responding to your text message, and the enemy begins to whisper in your ear, they have forgotten everything you've taught them. They are out there losing their ever-loving mind. No. You pull out your shield of faith and say, no, I'm not going to worry, because the Bible says that when I train up a child in the way they should go, that they will not depart from it. And God has given me a peace in my heart that he has empowered me to train my children up well when they were in my home. So no matter if they answer my phone call or not, I'll just cut the money off. They'll have to call at some point. I know that they are going to not depart from what God installed. Some of y'all got cut off, so you know what I'm talking about. He has installed it in your heart. It's amazing how many of us are knocked around with thoughts that will never take place, because we don't have the faith to extinguish those fiery darts. I'm telling you, get you a promise. Wrestle it out in God's presence until it's yours. And then when it's yours, stand up no matter what reality shows, and you will see it come to pass in your life. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Father God, we are grateful that all the promises of God are yes. And in this moment, we say amen. God, let it be unto us according to your word.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at www.yourdestiny.church. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.